You can take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter number 6. I was relieved when Brother Pittman had us turn to our text. I was a little concerned that I had the wrong message for tonight because I was worried we were going to get all the way through the missions conference with two missionaries and nobody go to a Great Commission text to preach. And I was like, well, you know, it's like if he doesn't do it tonight, I might have to change my message or something. We certainly can't let that happen at a missions conference, so I was relieved when he went to Acts chapter number 1. Again, I would like to thank you all. It's been a blessing to be here. The food has been great. The fellowship has been great. I've really enjoyed the opportunity to get to know a number of you. I've really enjoyed the opportunity to get to know Brother Pittman. I've heard of him quite a bit of late. It's one of those, it's like I didn't know who he was. It's one of those where it's like you begin to know something about a missionary, you know, when you see his prayer card and all the churches you're visiting. It's like, okay, this guy is probably our kind of Baptist. It's like I think I've picked up his prayer card at about seven different places I've been. A couple of others have mentioned, yeah, do you know Brother Pittman? He's going to be here in a couple of months or something. But it was a blessing to actually meet him. I had watched some of his testimony and such that Brother Hammett recorded and such of his time in South Africa, and that, to begin with, impressed me. I really appreciate his spirit, and I mean, I truly believe that he's going to do a work for the Lord there in Chile. I mean, you can see his heart for what God has called him to do, and it's been a blessing to me. I also have really been blessed, enjoyed getting to see the Demlos again, spend some time with them. As has been mentioned, we go way back. You know, he had to tell the story about me and living in the closet. I won't tell any embarrassing stories about him because, you know, he's the preacher. And he hasn't given me my love offering yet, so. it's been good. In talking to some of you, just watching you folks, I believe you do have an idea of how God has blessed you with the pastor that he's given you. Me and Brother Demlo, as he mentioned, you know, at various times we've had debates and arguments and such over generally trivial things, never about serious matters of the Lord. We've enjoyed good fellowship. I've really grown to respect him. I must confess, I was a little disappointed when you folks called him to be pastor. Like, I've never told him this, you know, it's like with the time that he spent on staff, and, you know, it's like, don't tell my pastor I said this, but he is getting a little up in years. seriously, don't tell him that. you know, it's like, it's one of those where it's like, you know, I began to think it was a possibility that Brother Demlo would be the next pastor, and obviously anticipating going out as a missionary out of our church. You know, that's someone that, you know, I'll be working with closely, whoever it ends up being. And I would have been honored to have Brother Demlo as my pastor. A man I truly respect. He has a heart for the things of God, and he takes his job seriously. And I really appreciate that. You folks are blessed. And I believe God is going to do great things here in and through this church. Ephesians chapter number 6. And verse number 18, the Bible says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. I want to speak to you for a few moments this evening on the subject of a challenge to pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the time that we've had this week, Lord, already in the study of your word, and Lord, the blessings that you've given to us, Lord, the challenge it's been to my heart and my life, and Lord, I thank you for these folks, Lord, and their testimony of the work that you're doing here, Lord, how you've blessed, and Lord, how I believe you want to continue to bless. Lord, I pray that you would meet with us again this evening. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts and minds. Lord, guide my thoughts, guide my speech. Lord, allow me to convey the message that you have for us. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. A challenge to pray. Now, this text that we just read obviously comes at the end of a very familiar text with the whole armor of God. And he kind of summarizes or ends, concludes with a mention of prayer, praying always with all prayer. And it's something that, you know, we obviously as Christians know we're supposed to do. You know, it's like I wouldn't expect to go to anyone here tonight and, you know, ask the question. It's like, well, do you think you're supposed to pray as a Christian? You know, I don't think anyone here would look at me and be like, well, no, I don't think so. You know, this is not a new concept to us. We certainly know that we're supposed to pray. It's a subject that Christ spoke of on several occasions. It's something we certainly see exemplified in his life, where he spent much time in prayer, where he would separate himself, you know, for extended periods of time of prayer. And so we see it's something of importance. But I want to start off by just asking you a couple of questions. I want you to think about this for a minute. What does it mean to pray? What does it mean to pray? You know, it's something that, you know, various things we do in the Christian life, I think we need to occasionally take a step back, stop, and examine what we're doing, why we're doing it, and how we're doing it. I think there's nothing wrong with that. I think it can be good for us. You know, probably the most common prayer we see is, you know, praying before a meal. You know, it's like we see prayer in a church service, you know, and, you know, unfortunately for some Christians, you know, that probably sums up the majority of prayer involved in their life. I mean, I would admit, not proudly, but prayer is not always easy for me. You know, it's like, as to the exact reasons why, you know, it would be much easier for me to just sit down and read my Bible for 2 hours than it would be to spend 20 minutes in prayer. You know, I think some of that is my personality. I prefer to listen to people talk than to talk, by and large. Unless you're saying something really dumb. But that's my personality. But we know that prayer is important. But what does it mean to pray? How do you pray, and what do you pray for? Now, what is it in your life right now? I mean, you know, if someone came to you and asked you about prayer, you know, they got saved, they got into their Bible a little bit, and, you know, they don't come from any kind of a religious background, and so this idea of prayer, you know, doesn't mean anything to them. You know, if they came to you, it's like, well, what do you do? What does it mean to you to pray? What would you tell them? What does it mean to pray? How do you pray? And what do you pray for? You know, I was challenged in a church recently in their men's prayer meeting. And this preacher got onto a couple of people about it. It's something the Lord's obviously been working with him about. You know, it's like, we're okay, do you have any prayer requests? And you know, someone would wave their hand, pray for so-and-so. And the preacher was like, okay, good. Pray what? Okay, you threw a name out there. What do you want us to pray for that person? You know, pray for the missionaries. Well, pray what? You know? It's like, prayer should be, you know, talking to God. Well, it's like, I mean, if I begin to talk to you about someone, it's like, Brother Pittman, I want to tell you about my friend, Brother Demlo. Brother Demlo. It's like, you got all that? You know exactly what I mean? You know what I'm talking about? It's like, I'd like you to do something for my friend, Brother Demlo. Brother Demlo. You know, there's something there that, you know, it's like in our human conversation, we would say, okay, there's something missing there. There's something missing there. You know, just throwing a name out there isn't talking to someone about something. Isn't really addressing the subject. And so, you know, that was you know, that preacher's statements were a part of what got me thinking and eventually, you know, brought this message into existence. But we see here in this passage, the Apostle Paul gives us some particular instruction on prayer. And I want to look at a few things particularly here. The first thing we see in verse number 18, he says, praying always. Praying always. Now that word always is basically a translation of three different Greek words and ultimately means something to the effect of in all seasons. Praying always, praying in all seasons. Now you folks up here are well acquainted. Where I grow up, you know, it's like we had two seasons at best. Some years you didn't really have that. Now it's like up here, I mean, you guys know a little bit about seasons, and you know that some things are easier to do in some seasons than they are in others. You know, it's like if you want to be out there, you know, it's like doing any kind of work in your yard. You know, it's like if you want to, you know, plant a vegetable garden and some things like that, there's a particular season you need to do that in. If you try to do it in one of the other seasons, it's not going to work out so well. You know, you go out there to start plowing your field in the middle of wintertime, you know, with that permafrost and everything, you know, that's going to be difficult, if not impossible. And so that's what the Apostle Paul is kind of addressing here. Hey, there's going to be times, there's going to be a season perhaps where prayer is easy, when it's not going to be a problem, or it's going to come somewhat naturally. But then there's going to be other seasons where it might be a little difficult. But Paul says, in all seasons, praying always. Now, go with me to Luke chapter number 18. We will be back here, so you might want to mark that. Luke chapter number 18 and verse number 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge who feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? So I believe we need to pray always and in every season, even when it seems like nothing is happening. Here, Christ encourages us. He gives us a parable. This is one of my personal favorite parables because he gives us a very clear and concise interpretation right at the beginning. Makes it easy for guys like me to understand what he's talking about. It's like he gave this parable that men need always to pray and not to faint. But this widow is coming, and she's asking to be avenged on her adversaries, and for a period of time, the judge was indifferent at best, maybe even hostile. I want nothing to do with this situation. Leave me alone. I don't want anything to do with it. But she kept coming. She kept coming. Hey, there's going to be seasons of prayer where we've been praying about something and nothing at all has happened. You know, maybe it's someone that we want to see saved and we're not seeing anything happen. They don't see any more open to the gospel. They haven't been willing to come to church. I haven't had any real good opportunities to witness to them. That's no longer an easy season to pray. You know, there's times where, you know, we want to witness to someone, we're excited about someone, we're praying about their salvation, and it's easy because we're seeing things happen. And that's an easy season of prayer, but Paul says pray always. So even when we're not seeing anything at all happen, Christ says to pray. Christ says to pray. If you keep coming to God, God will work, is what he says here. So even in the season where we see nothing at all happen, we're supposed to pray. We're supposed to keep praying. Go with me to Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16, verse number 22, the Bible says, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. we need to pray even in the season where things look like they just can't get any worse. You know, it's like I alluded a little bit to this, or we talked about this a little bit even last night, with when our faith fails. You know, that we're still going to come to God. It's like, I mean, you know, these two guys, Paul and Silas, you know, they were in bad shape. I mean, they just got tossed into the inner prison. They were fast in the stocks. They had been beaten. You know, who knows what's going to happen next? So what did they do? They prayed. They prayed. You know, sometimes when we start seeing things go south, so to speak, you know, we stop praying. Because, you know, we were praying about this and, you know, expecting God to move things a particular direction. You know, is this what Paul and Silas had been praying for previous to this? You know, did they go into these new towns and villages? Lord, I really ask that you would bless, and Lord, if everything goes according to plan, I pray that you would open the door for us to be beaten and cast into prison. This was not the direction that they had been praying up to this point. Things were not going as they expected. Things were certainly not going as they hoped. But they continued to pray. They continued to pray. Even when a thing looked like things were getting worse and maybe had gotten to the point where they couldn't get any worse, they were going to continue to pray. Go with me to Daniel chapter number 6. Daniel chapter number 6. Daniel chose to pray when opposition was at its strongest. Daniel 6 and verse 10, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed," that was the writing stating that if you prayed to anyone but the king, you were going to be cast into the den of lions. "When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." When opposition was at its strongest, when it seemed like if there was ever a time to stop praying, now would be it. Daniel continued to pray. Daniel continued to pray. You know, sometimes, you know, I don't understand it all the time, but God tests us that way. You know, brings us to the point where we would even say, yeah, maybe I've just been praying about this wrong. You know, maybe I shouldn't have been asking God for this. God's pushing us that step further. Will you continue to do this even when the opposition is at its strongest? You know, it's like we begin praying about a ministry and it just seems to get further away from happening rather than closer. We can be tempted to give up. You know, we're praying for God's work in someone's life, and rather than becoming more open, they seem to become more closed and more antagonistic. And our temptation is to, okay, let's back off a little bit. No, we still need to pray. When the opposition is its strongest, we still need to pray. Back with me to Ephesians chapter number 6. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And this word prayer here means prayer. Now it's like I referenced the other day, it's like in Matthew chapter 9, verse 38, when he says, "Pray ye therefore," that word means beg. Okay? This is not the same word. This speaks of an oratory towards God. It speaks of worship. Let all worship, all speaking to God. And then he says supplication. That's making a petition, a request. Okay? And so he's kind of giving us a definition, a broad definition of what prayer is going to contain. And he says, let all of this be in the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now this is certainly, I mean, as far as the truth about prayer here, probably the most important thing we see. Prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Go with me to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. and verse number 15. The Bible says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Now, what does it mean for prayer to be in the Spirit? Well, here he tells us that it's the Holy Spirit in us, the Spirit of adoption, that allows us to cry, Abba, Father. Okay, it's the Holy Spirit. And then he says there in verse 16, "It beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Okay, for our prayer to be what it's supposed to be, it's based entirely upon our relationship with God. You know, it's like I've heard the illustration many, many times. Okay? It's like if I go to, you know, it's like I send my son, you know, to Brother Humphrey. And I say to him, "Son, go ask him for a new pair of shoes. Son, go ask him for a new bike." You know, mostly what he's going to get is a raised eyebrow. And, you know, at some point he's going to get an answer something like this: "Go ask your own dad." Go ask your dad. I have no responsibility in your life. Okay, what gives us a relationship that allows us to come to God in prayer is that we are sons. Okay? That is the privilege that we have through Jesus Christ, that we are adopted into His family. Well, it's the Holy Spirit that bears witness in our life that that is true. If I am not in the Spirit, then I do not have that confidence to come to God as my Father. If I am grieving the Holy Spirit, then I cannot come in the proper attitude. You know, it's like asking your dad for something when you know you've done something wrong. You're not maybe even entirely certain that he knows about it. You're not entirely certain that there is actually going to be a problem here, but you know that you've done something wrong. You know that the relationship isn't what it's supposed to be. And so the very thought of bringing that request to your father scares the living daylights out of you, because you might have to address the issue. You're afraid you're going to be rejected because you know the relationship isn't what it's supposed to be. You know that there is perfectly good reason for him to say no, because that relationship is broken. Well, it's like when we grieve the Holy Spirit, then we don't have that relationship. We don't have that confidence. We're in that same situation where the thought of coming to God in prayer is a fearful thing. It's a worrisome thing. It's a doubtful thing. And so when Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, I must have the Holy Spirit bearing witness with my spirit, whereby I can cry, Abba, Father. I can come to Him with that confidence. Go with me to Romans chapter number 8, verse 26. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." We see a couple of important truths here. As the Holy Spirit knows our infirmities. I mean, the fact is when I come to God in prayer, you know, he states here, we know not what to ask for as we ought. I mean, there are situations where, yeah, I'm a little lost on exactly what it is I need. What needs to happen in this situation? You know, we'll state that sometimes in prayer requests, and that's perfectly acceptable because God knows it's true. You know, we'll say, pray for so-and-so. You know, God needs to do something there. You know, I'm not sure exactly what it is. You know, pray for me. It's like God is dealing with me in an area, and you know, it's like something needs to happen. I'm not sure what it is. It's like that's no revelation to God. That's no revelation to the Holy Spirit. But the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is there to help our infirmities, to make intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. So that when I am in the Spirit, when I'm walking in the Spirit, when I'm filled with the Spirit, and I fall before on my face before God, even though I don't know exactly what to say, and I don't know exactly what the will of God is, the Holy Spirit does. And so Paul, in saying, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, it's like, yes, you're going to make mistakes. Yes, you're going to be wrong. You're going to be out of place from time to time. You're not going to know what to do. You're not going to know exactly what to say. You're not going to know exactly what it is you need. You're not going to know exactly what you want. But if it will be in the Spirit, if you will allow the Holy Spirit to have sway in your life, if you will allow Him to lead and guide and direct you, the Holy Spirit will help your infirmities, and He will make intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered. And the Bible says there in the next verse, according to the will of God. Even where I'm, you know, a little bit puzzled, a little bit lost as to what should happen and what to do, if my prayer is in the Spirit, then God's going to hear exactly what needs to be done. That prayer is going to be right. It's going to be according to His purposes. It's going to be according to His will. And so we see the importance of praying always in every season, but also praying in the Spirit. Back to Ephesians chapter number 6. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That word watching means to be sleepless. Be sleepless. Now it's like, whether that is, and I can't tell you for certain, I believe it can be both, the idea of wrestling with something to the point where it takes rest from your eyes, where it's like you're so consumed with this request that you can't fall asleep. I believe it can mean that. I believe it can also be the idea of the sentry, where no matter how tired you are, you're not going to fall asleep because you understand the importance of what it is you're supposed to be doing, that you have to do whatever it takes to keep your eyes open, to continue in what it is you're supposed to be doing. But that's what that word watching means, pushing beyond those boundaries, going beyond where you would normally go to stay focused on this, to stay involved. Watch. Perseverance, a steady persistence in a course of action. Plugging away. All prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. And then he says, in supplication for all saints. Supplication for all saints. Again, that word supplication means a request on behalf of all saints. Well, what is that all about? Let's go back to the context we're in. What is the context of where we're at? Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Spiritual armor. Spiritual warfare. You know, it's like you think Paul is telling them, hey, put all this armor on, because we're having a church picnic later and we're going to play some softball. You know, make sure you have your sword of the Spirit, your shield of faith, breastplate of righteousness, you know, because we're having bowling night. Oh, he's talking about spiritual warfare. He's like, you need to be praying for each other, because guess what? You're going to leave here tonight, and tomorrow, Satan's going to attack your brother over here. Pray for him. Satan's going to attack your sister over here. Pray for him. Understand exactly what is going on here. How important is it? We're involved in a battle. We're involved in a war. Pray for each other. Pray for all saints. You know, we can get, and I mean, I'm not one to belittle standing for truth and standing for doctrine. You know, but I was talking to someone the other day, and you know, he made that statement, you know, leave it to a Baptist to shoot their wounded. You know, because we see someone start to slip a little bit. Oh, look at him. Just turning his back on the truth. He was involved in a battle with Satan. You know, it's like, by God's grace, I certainly never want to be in that situation. But I mean, I would pray and hope that I would have friends that, you know, the first time I messed up a little bit, would be praying for me and trying to help me, understanding that, hey, you know, maybe I'm a casualty of war. Supplication for all saints. Go with me to Matthew chapter 26. Christ gives this same sort of admonition to his disciples, Matthew chapter 26. Verse 41, watch ye and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, the disciples to a man had no idea what they were in for that night. They had no idea. It's like, to a man, you know, they had agreed with Peter, I'll not forsake you. I won't do it. They had no idea what they were into. It's like you can imagine, you know, within the next 24 hours, I mean, you see kind of the shock. No, this was Christ. This was the Messiah. He was gonna set up a kingdom. He was going to rule and reign. And now he's been taken and tried and crucified. You know, you see indications they were ready to be done with it all. They didn't know what was next. Christ knew exactly what they were headed for. And he said, watch and pray. Yes, brothers, your spirit is willing. But understand, your flesh is weak. If you're not seeking my face, if you're not seeking my power, you're not going to make it. If you'll not pray for each other, you're not going to make it, guys. You don't know what you're up against. I know exactly what's going to be happening. And you saw it. Christ, the Son of God, spending the entire night praying in agony, understanding exactly what was going to happen. And we can treat it so cavalier. When we see a brother in that battle, when difficulties come and the temptation is there, just like those 12, to forsake, to turn and run. Will we pray? 1 Peter 4 and verse number 7. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 7. Peter here writes and says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Peter here implores the people of God, there's an urgency. The end is near. Will you watch? Will you be sleepless? Will you be sober? Will you pray? Do you understand how limited our time is? And this was 2,000 years ago. He had begun to understand the urgency of the situation. And again, and we can be, you know, cavalier about it. Now, don't think I'm sitting here telling you what to do. God preached this message to me. Prayer. The urgency. The end is near. We need to watch. We need to watch under prayer. Back to Ephesians chapter number 6. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Now Paul shifts gears just a little bit and brings things back to himself. This is a missionary imploring a church to pray for him. You know, we joked about it in the car a little bit today. I started it with the pray for me more than you pray for him. We talked about that. You know, it's like when Brother Demley and I said, well, we've only got enough money to support one of you, so we'll pray for you, Brother Wyatt, and we'll support Brother Pittman. And Brother Pittman thought that was a good idea. Now, like I said, we joked about it a little bit. I know if we ask him seriously, if this church promised to support you $1,000 a month, or if they promised to pray for you 1,000 times a month, which one he would take. See, there's no promises in the Scripture as to what God will do with $1,000 a month. There are countless promises as to what God will do with that kind of prayer. Countless promises. There is no limit to what God will do with that kind of prayer. You know, $1,000, no matter where you are in the world, only goes so far. When you talk about prayer, it's limitless. We talked about that a little bit the other night. The prayer of faith that can move a mountain. It's limitless. So the Apostle Paul here is now changing the focus, and he says, pray for me. So it's not an isolated occurrence. Go with me to Romans chapter number 15. Romans chapter number 15, verse number 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. I want you to be involved in my ministry. I want you to work with me. I want you to strive with me in your prayers. Go with me to Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians 1 and verse number 19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He had just given the account of you know, some that were preaching the gospel for good purposes, some that were preaching it out of a slightly different spirit, seeking to add to his bonds. But he says, I know God will work this to my salvation through your prayer. If you'll pray about this, I know it'll turn out right. I know this will turn out right if you'll pray about it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 25, Paul waxes theologically eloquent, gets down to deep truth. Brethren, pray for us. Brethren, pray for us. This is something we need. This is something that we require. We're seeking to do a work for the Lord, and brethren, pray for us. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not the faith, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. The Apostle Paul understood the need, the necessity, the benefit of these churches praying for him. Now back in Ephesians chapter number 6, we'll look quickly at a few things particularly that the Apostle Paul asks them to pray for. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me. That utterance might be given unto me. Go with me to Colossians chapter number 4. What does that mean? You know, it's a good one to start. You know, it's like when you, next think of and mention a missionary. You know, let's pray for Brother George. Well, what should we pray? Well, let's pray for utterance. Amen. Let's do that. Now, we might want to know exactly what it is we're praying for, right? Pray for utterance. Colossians chapter number 4 and verse number 3. The Bible says, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, a door of utterance, particularly to speak the mystery of Christ. Now let's go to Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. And we'll get to what I believe this utterance is really all about. Acts 2 and verse number 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I believe that utterance is the ability to speak in... No, just kidding. that's not what I believe. Utterance was the ability and the opportunity to convey spiritual truth to a people or a culture that were not my own. Here, it took the form of speaking in their language, speaking in tongues. In other places, it didn't. A door of utterance. I mean, that's something that as a missionary going to a foreign culture, we need a door of utterance. We can't do things exactly as, you know, we've done them at home church down the road. People think differently. People speak differently. It's something, you know, it's like Brother Demlo would still be praying moving up to Alaska. A door of utterance. You know, because it's like, you guys aren't exactly the same as the people where he grew up. Not exactly the same. But that's what a door of utterance is. It's like, give me some insight to convey the truth that I have in a way that they will understand it. A door of utterance. You know, that is certainly something that Brother George needs. As he works with multiple different backgrounds of people. You know, it's like that door of utterance on the mission field and in your day-to-day life can constantly be changing. You know, it's like when you are at work, you know, and they hire someone new and you know, maybe that somebody isn't from America. You need a door of utterance. Paul says, pray for me that I might have a door of utterance. I need to convey this truth and, you know, I'm not always sure how to do it. I'm not sure the best way to go about it. Folks, I need you to pray for me. You know, as missionaries, as we go to our field, I mean, that's something that weighs heavy upon us. You know, it was something that, you know, this brother just took time out of his schedule. He talked a little bit about that. It's like going to Africa for 3 weeks when you're on deputation, that's a sacrifice. That is not a cheap plane ticket. And like he said, you know, it's like those love offering checks stop for those 3 weeks you're gone. But he was seeking a little insight on utterance. It's like there's a missionary over there that has invested a lot of his life into the subject of utterance. How do you reach different people? And so he was going to invest himself in that. Utterance. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me. Then he says, that I may open my mouth boldly. Now this is certainly no rare prayer request in the New Testament. Go with me to Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4. And verse number 28. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determine for... That doesn't look right. Verse 29. And now, O Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. With boldness. I mean, you see that as a prayer request, and you see it as a answered prayer in the New Testament, where they asked for the ability, for the power to speak with boldness. Now, certainly this is something we want in conjunction with utterance. You know, sometimes boldness without utterance is part of our problem. We'll open our mouth up real wide, But we haven't sought the Lord for any utterance, any understanding in how to convey that truth to the person we're speaking to. But to simply have utterance but no boldness isn't going to leave us anywhere either. Boldness. Missionaries, this is something we need. You know, there's going to be opportunities there. You know, it's like, I guarantee you, he'll face it at some point. I know I'll face it. I've watched other missionaries face it. You know, it's like you have a man, you've been training him. You know, you've been discipling, he's been growing, he's been doing something, and then something's going to come up. Some point of doctrine, some point of testimony. And everything in your being is going to scream, if I get serious about this, he's going to leave. He's going to leave. His culture is going to say, go your own direction. Don't follow that. He's going to leave. And it would be so easy. So easy. Shim the corner a little bit. Round it off. You know, preachers run into it. Pastors run into it. They need boldness. There's going to come times where it's like, you know, the Lord wants me to say this. I believe this is the truth. This is what God's word says. But if I get up here and preach this, you know, I think that family and that family might not come back. You know, and that's what we worry about. You know, they were praying for boldness because we're going to get thrown in jail. We're going to get beaten. We might get put to death. We pray for boldness because we're worried about someone not liking what we say. But it's just as real. It's just as real. We need boldness. We need to pray for boldness. The Apostle Paul understood this. And then back to Ephesians chapter number 6. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. The mystery of the gospel. What does that mean? That I might make known the mystery of the gospel. Does that mean that the gospel is difficult to figure out? No. You know, we think of mystery as being something that's, you know, it's like hidden, difficult to find. Got to start examining all the clues, using all of your deductive reasoning to determine. It's not what this word mystery means. This word mystery means a secret or a mystery through the idea of silence. Silence. I've got a reference we're about to turn to. It's a mystery. You know why it's a mystery? Because I haven't told you yet. I haven't told you yet. It's not anything mystical. It's going to be in the Bible. You've probably read it before. But it's a mystery because I haven't told you yet. Go with me to, are you ready for it? Is the anticipation raised high? I'm revealing a great mystery here. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Reveal the mystery. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 1. Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and as stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, you've probably heard this passage preached before. We are stewards. We are to be found faithful. He mentioned something in particular that we're stewards of. The mysteries of God. What does that mean? You're a steward of the mystery of God. I'm a steward of the mystery of God. And like the Apostle Paul, I would pray and ask you to pray that God would allow me to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. You know what that means? I'm going to Africa, and I'm going to tell people the gospel who've never heard it before. It's a mystery to them. They've never heard it. They've never had someone open a Bible and show them that Jesus Christ came and died for their sins. That's a mystery. There's people in this world, people that you know, where the gospel is a mystery. You are the steward of that mystery. It is your job to be found faithful as a steward to proclaim that mystery. That's what that means. There are people out there, you know, maybe they've heard something about it, but they don't understand it. They've never heard it put plainly. You know, they've heard it twisted and destroyed by various religious organizations where it's just some massive confusion that no one can make heads or tails of. Salvation and the gospel and the truth of God's word is a mystery. And so the Apostle Paul says there in Ephesians 6, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." The mystery of the gospel. Pray for me, is what the Apostle Paul says, that I'll know how to talk to these people. Pray for me that I'll speak when I should speak, and that I'll stand for what I should stand for, and that I will be able to reveal to them the mystery of the gospel. As missionaries, that's what we would ask. That's the reason we give you those prayer cards. My next one might have this verse printed on it. We'll see. Pray for us. Pray for us. And with all that, back to verse 18. Praying always, every season, with all prayer and supplication, in the Spirit. And oh yeah, don't just pray for us. Let's pray for each other. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time and for, Lord, your words here, and Lord, for this truth. Lord, you've certainly spoken to my heart this week and, Lord, this evening. Lord, I thank you for the challenge, Lord, to be a witness. Lord, you've given us the truth and the light and the life and liberty. And Lord, we're to share it. We're witnesses of that. Lord, I pray that you would help us to do that. And Lord, with that, to pray. Lord, to pray for each other. Lord, we are all stewards of that mystery. Lord, that we would pray for each other as we're involved in that spiritual warfare, as we face that battle day in and day out. Lord, that you would give us utterance. Lord, that you would give us boldness. Lord, that we might proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Thank you for this time. I pray that you'd work in our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.